All right. We're going to just go ahead and dive right on in for time's sake. I was in your seat once before, and I know how it is, especially when we start getting late in the evening. So I'm not going to, that's something I always do. The apostle allows us a certain amount of time, but if you pay attention to the time, I never take all of it. You know, I honor my respect for that. I take as much as I can, but I don't take all the time, but this is the apostle. So I'm going to dive right into it right quick. For online students, if I'm correct, I think y'all have exam next week? No? The week after. Okay, I'm thinking this was, you know, 29th. Okay, thank you. All right, well, we'll go over that then. All right. As I prepare for this, as I stood in, read more on prayer, I begin to get a holy indignation on prayer. It's just starting to get stronger and stronger. And I get upset with a lot of things. And I was reading today. Remember, we were reading Luke 11:1 on last week. And the disciples actually say, teach me to pray, or teach us to pray. Well, I found another scripture today, Hebrews, I think it's 13:8. It said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Well, when Jesus prayed, something happened. I say, when Jesus prayed, something happened. Well, when we pray, something ought to happen. Amen. See, we must get to the point to understand that when we pray, our aim is not to get the devil to take his hand off of us. Our aim is not to get something to happen. When we pray, in prayer, we're telling Satan, take your hand off me. Come on now. When we pray, we're telling God, this is what we want to happen. You understand? That's how strong we have to be in prayer. Watch this here. Let me help you with something. The most important lesson we can learn is how to pray. The man who has done the most and best praying is the most immortal, because prayer never dies. I'm going to say it again. The man who has done the most and the best praying is the most immortal, because prayer never dies. Watch this here. Perhaps the lips of them that uttered are closed in death, or the heart that felt them may have ceased to beat no more, but the prayers live before God. God's heart is set on them. Now watch this statement. I love this. Prayers outlive the lives of those who utter them. God Almighty. I said prayer outlive the lives of those who utter them. So let's say you have mothers or fathers or grandparents who've gone on before you, who are interceding for you on your behalf. Can I tell you something? Those prayers are still alive. Ooh, Jesus. See, some of us, it's those prayers that's still holding us. Man, come on, y'all got to get this. Prayer never dies. Even the person that was interceding for you or praying for you, when they're gone from this earth, watch this statement. It is the voice that goes into God's ear, and it lives as long as God's ear is open. Now, can I ask you a question? Does God ever close his ear? So as long as that voice, it has gone into the ear, and it lives as long as God, I want to get this right. It lives as long as God's ears open to holy pleas, and as long as God's heart is alive to holy things. Ooh, Jesus. God never closed his ear. So he never closed his ear. That prayer is constantly being heard. Watch this. The life of the church is the highest life. It is the office. Its office is to pray. See, your office, we're not concerned. Your office is not to be an apostle. You may be, but not right now. Your office may be a bishop, but not right now. You may be an evangelist. You may be a prophet. You may be a teacher, but not right now. The highest office you need to hold right now is the office of prayer. Because if you don't know how to pray, you can't hold any of those offices in the first place. You can't be no apostle if you don't know how to pray like the apostle. Even Paul said himself, he said, I prayed in the Holy Ghost more than you what? more than you all. Its prayer life is the highest life, the most fragrant and most conspicuous life. Watch this here. Ooh, I love this. Prayer in one phase of the operation, watch this here. Prayer in one phase of his operation is to be a disinfectant. I say it's the first phase is a disinfectant. What you mean? We talked about the scripture on the first night, I think. Search me, O Lord. See if there's anything in me. If it is, take it from me. In other words, when you begin to pray, the first thing you're going to do is clean out some things in your life. There's an old Baptist song, sweep around your own front door before you sweep around mine. But see, that's what prayer does. Prayer cleans everything out of you that shouldn't be. Don't be prophesying to me when your stuff ain't together, man. Come on. Now, the reason why the apostle can preach so strong and be so direct with people is because he clean. You can't hold nothing against him. Ain't nothing bad. You can say something bad, but it won't be true. Do you hear me? The second part of prayer, it is a preventative. It builds you up, gives you full of energy. And here go another song. It calls you the things I used to do. I won't do no more. See, it prevents you. See, that's one thing I love about my apostle. But he teaches us young preachers how to have wisdom. All right? He made the statement a couple weeks ago. That wasn't the first time. He just did it last week about a young lady. He said, cover your legs. He wasn't doing it to embarrass or nobody or to be disrespectful. But watch this here. When you have a prayer life and become strong, it's a preventative. And I love my dad because he helps young preachers let you know, listen, I don't care how spiritual you think you are, I'm a man. I can see the legs. I can see certain, you understand what I'm telling you? But when you have a prayer life, it holds you that when you do see it, it won't bother you. It's a preventative. I guarantee you catch any man or woman of God that fall is because they don't have a strong prayer life. So we're going to talk about a little bit, because time flying. What is the purpose of prayer? What is the purpose? The book says one problem is that we see in the body of Christ is the absence of prayer. Many of y'all been in the body of Christ longer than I have, and I know you can attest to this, but prayer is one of the least attended services in the body of Christ. Amen. I've had the opportunity to travel this world, to see things I never thought I would see, and I've seen ministry with 5,000-6,000 people, with only 200-300 people show up for prayer. I've seen ministry with 1,000-2,000 people, with only 100 people show up for prayer. See, it's all over. It don't matter how big a church is. It's the spirit of people not wanting to pray because they don't think prayer is important. Church is important for me to get there to hold my position, to get my seat. Why don't people pray? One of the first reasons is this. Reason why believers do not pray is because they are unaware of the reason why God created prayer. Most people don't pray because they don't know why prayer was created in the first place. Many people told prayer was just to get your needs met, to get your desires met. And listen to this statement. And when you do that, you're abusing prayer. And there's a statement that says, anything not understood will be abused. If you don't understand it, you abuse it. When we ignore this fundamental truth, prayer is misused or practiced without vision or direction. Because most of the time when people pray, they're not praying with vision or direction. As I guess a little word I'll use, a country word, you're just praying all willy-nilly. Whatever come up, however you feel that day. That's what you're praying about. No vision, no direction. And this is what the apostles trying to get us to. We're having to teach us how to have this intimate relationship with God, flowing in this faith, flowing the anointing, flowing the glory, where we can hear directly from God. And every time, the steps of a good man are all about the what? The Lord. So therefore, when we are sensitive to the Spirit, now God can direct our steps, each and every aspect of our life. You feel me? The second reason why people don't pray is because they don't see satisfactory or positive results. They don't see satisfactory or positive results. So when we ignore this reason for prayer, the desire to do it is automatically lost. All right. When we ignore the reason for prayer, so when you ignore the reason for prayer and pray, everything now is offset. All right. I ain't no mad person. I'm just telling you what they told me. So if they say this is what it is, I guess this is what it is, because that's what I learned. All right. They said I think young lady, she went to Tulane, so she might be pretty smart. She'll know it. They said the circumference of a circle is, I think, 3.14. Okay. That's what it is. So y'all look at me. It's been a long time, geometry. The circumference of a circle is 3.14. All right. That's what they say now. I just remember that. All right. But if you don't know the equation or the circumference of a circle when they give you a problem, you won't be able to solve it. Okay, so if you're a student and you're sitting in class and don't understand that 3.14 is the quiz you need to plug in to solve that problem you have, you're going to lose all interest. So you're going to start spitting spitballs, passing notes, cracking jokes, doing something crazy because I want to do it, but I don't understand. So I'm going to find myself doing something else. I'm going to lose interest. So because when we pray, we have not been seeing results in our prayer life because we have not been understanding what prayer was created for. And because we have not understood prayer was created for, we've been praying and not seeing results, so therefore we lose interest. We don't want to do it. All right? Why should we pray? Especially if God knows what we want already. Why should we pray if God is unaffected by what we do? Why should we pray if God controls and predetermines everything that's going to go on? What's the reason for prayer if the devil already been defeated? Why pray for the lost if God's will for everybody to be saved? All valid questions. The answer to that, we must first understand the true nature of God and his desire for humanity. Listen, I love this. Understanding who God is will guide us to the purpose of prayer. God is a God of purpose. Say, God is a God of purpose. Everything God created on earth, including man, was created to fulfill a purpose. Everything on this earth. Now, once you understand that now, and we begin to pray, you're going to go into another dimension. There are three reasons why God created man. Number one, man was created to reflect God's nature and to have a close relationship with him. A close relationship with him. All right? If we were created to reflect God's nature and to enjoy a personal relationship with him, this means we were created with his name, or his nature, and his moral character. The way we develop this image and character is through our close relationship with him. See, I gave you an example a while back that if you want to know about your mate or about somebody you know, you got to spend time with them. That's the only way you're going to find out. You understand? See, I'm going to have you cracking up here for a second and get back in here. See, my wife had to develop a relationship with me to find out, though I'm from the country, I don't eat no beans. See, now, if she didn't take time to get to know me, and automatically assume when he's from the country, he must eat beans, you finna get your feelings hurt. Because they tell me it take a long time to soak the beans and all that kind of stuff, whatever they do, and but I don't eat no beans. No, I don't eat nobody beans. I don't care how good you say your grandma beans is. I done tried them, I don't eat no beans. Lima bean, red bean, butter bean, pinto, I don't eat nobody beans. All right? But my point is, my wife had to get to nobody to know that. All right? So it's the same way with God. In order for you to pray and pray correctly, you have to develop an intimate relationship to hear from him, to know exactly how, what vision direction you need to go in prayer. All right. The reason why God created us is to reflect his character, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his righteousness, his peace, his authority, his power. Good God Almighty. I'm going to say it again, to reflect his character. Well, what is his character? What is his character? I can tell you exactly what it is right now. With one verse I'm about to say, you're going to know what I'm, you're going to know it. I am that I am. His character is I am that. What you talking about? When you pray, when you recognize his character, I am whatever you need me to be right now. I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. I'm your finances. What you need right now, I am that, because that's my character. So now when I understand the purpose of prayer, why prayer was created, develop an intimate relationship with him, now I develop his character, man, I take all that with me in prayer, I got to win. Yes, sir, I go in with his character, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his righteousness, his peace, his authority, and his power. Can't ask for no more. Number two, God created humanity to fulfill his plans, his purpose, and will on earth. God Almighty. I like this. God created man with the ability to function on earth. I'm going to give you a scripture in a minute. Giving him legal rights, freedom, and authority to operate and to have lordship over all creation. I said God created man with the ability to function on earth, thus giving him legal rights. My man of God back there, because y'all see him, he's in uniform. He's an officer. And he understands there are certain laws he has to abide by because you have certain rights. I see some of y'all in here wearing pink lipstick, red lipstick, talking to women, red lipstick, whatever it is you're wearing. All right? So, well, I'm just saying it, I don't know what color, maybe saying the color wrong. So if he came in here right now and told y'all, put your hands on your back, you're going to jail. He in uniform, he got the gun, everything. For what? You got on red lipstick, pink lipstick. I'm serious, he tell you, you're under arrest, what you going to do? What would y'all do? What'd you say? You going to go in because he's an officer, right? Boy, see, that's how we're in prayer, right there, right there. I like that. I'm glad you said that, though. See, you going to have to go with him because you don't know your rights. But if you know your rights, we talk about the spirit realm now, you're going to have to say, Mr. Officer, I'm glad you got that badge and your gun, but you know what? It's not legal to wear lipstick, so you might as well get out of my face. Oh, me and you finna fight right here. Take out your taser, do what you got to do, but I know what you're trying to do to me is illegal. See, that's how we got to be the devil. No, devil, this is illegal. God said in prayer, watch this here, I have legal rights. I told you God created humanity to fulfill his plans, purpose, and will on earth. He created man with the ability to function on earth, thus giving him legal rights, freedom, and authority to operate in and to have lordship over all creation. You got to know your rights. See, but if you don't know your rights, I love what she just said. She respected authority. She said, I'm going to have to go with him. No, that's illegal. Well, no, I ain't going to say that. You ain't got to go with him. You don't know your rights. We're fighting court later on. you might teach it a little bit when you go with him, but that's all right. We'll deal with that. Hallelujah. Number three, I like this one. That's a good one. That's radio. That's a good one. I saw it today. It just stuck in my head. God created man to have dominion over all things. Number three, God created man to have dominion over all things. Go to Psalms 115. God. Psalms 115. Man, I think somebody here got an app on my phone to speed my clock up. Psalms 115. And the statement is this. God created man to have dominion over what? All things. Let's look at it. Psalms 1:15. Look at verse 15. You are blessed of the Lord, which made what? Heaven and earth. The heaven. Even the heavens are the what? But the earth he has given to who? I told you, God created man to have dominion over what? All things. The earth is yours. He said, I can't do nothing without you. I need you to function here on earth as you were God. You got dominion. Listen, how did God give man the ability to take dominion? First, God created man with a spirit that came directly from him. Hence, the human race had no choice but to govern the physical world. I just showed you a scripture. It's yours. See, and I love the way this thing has come together because we've been operating in faith. We've been operating the anointing. But the glory is what gives us full control. That it goes against, you know, he talking about how you get to that glory point where now iron turns to bones. That's dominion. You heard him talk about his grandson where he's about to lay hands on him and pray. He said, Lord, said, no, you don't do your touch, just speak it because I gave you dominion on earth. Hold, close up. That's the kind of, boy, look, that's the kind of power you hold inside of you. You know, the old folk used to say, let's tarry. Listen, thank God for them. They did what they do. But we ain't got to tarry all night long no more. We ain't got da-da-da-da-da all night long no more. We got to understand that we're created with a power on the inside. I have dominion and say, speak, and it got to happen. God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He ain't changed yet. And he won't change. He's just waiting on us to catch up. I think sometimes heaven sit back and just look at us like we on Comic View. I'm serious. I think sometimes they just look down on us and say, what is they crying for? Don't they know who they is? Yeah, I said is. I know the other word. I don't want to say that. Don't they know who they is? Don't they know they got God? Don't they know they got power? Don't they know they don't have to put up with that? What? Why they ain't? Why? I don't know. I just don't know. They don't know who they are. They don't know they have me inside of them. They don't know that they were created in my image, and all they got to do is start acting like it. Man. Ah. 9:30, y'all. That's it. God almighty. No, just start, I'm still on? Well, what would you normally, all I tell people, especially getting close to the exam, those who, online students take a quiz every night or during the week whenever they put a class. What I advise you to do as students, even if you don't take it, even if you get it wrong, take it and just print it out because you will see those same answers or questions again. That's the best thing I can tell you. All right. Hint, hint.